I want to talk to you this morning about keeping our eyes on the prize. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. You know, the sufferings of this world, as St. Paul says, can't even be compared to the glory that waits. And yet, so often we get weighed down with infirmities and struggles and trials in this world, and we don't get a chance to look up and just see the glory of God and what is waiting for us if we are faithful and we carry our cross. So today, in this Feast of the Transfiguration, the Lord is teaching us to keep our eyes on the prize. Now, notice this going up on the mountaintop that takes place. First of all, just the place of this gospel. It's a mountaintop. Now, some of us just came back from the Holy Land, and some of us went up on that mountaintop. And it is a mountain, amen? It is not just a little hill. It's not just some little, you know, high spot in the neighborhood. It's a major mountain. And you got to get in these special cars with these special transmissions to go up the side of that mountain. Oh, back and forth, up that mountaintop. Now, we rode in cars. I have the news for you. There were no cars in the days of Jesus, amen? And they had to climb. They had to climb on up that mountain. You know, brothers and sisters, in order to get to the mountaintop with the Lord and see the vision of glory, you got to climb. I said, you got to climb. It's an old gospel hymn that says, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. But brothers and sisters, that's all right, because the rough side is where the best climbing is. If you want to get to glory, the rough side of the mountain is the best side of all. The smooth side, you got to have, I don't know, it's hard to climb on the smooth side. I've seen them, they got to put in all those rings and pull up and church. That's a lot of trouble. But the rough side, that's where the climbing is. And I don't know about you, but I can say I don't like the rough side of the mountain. Now, I am not into punishment. I don't like the rough side of the mountain, but church, there's some good climbing on the rough side. And as I look back over my life and I think things over, I have been blessed even on the rough side of the mountain. And some of the best climbing I've ever done is on the rough side. Some of the most important progress in my life was on the rough side, was on the difficult things. I learned things about myself. I began to see that I had capacities I never knew I had. And some of the struggles made me realize that I was stronger than I thought. And I learned new things, and I learned to be more compassionate with other people and their struggles. Can someone say amen? So none of us like the rough side. I don't want you to tell me you like the rough side of the mountain, but I just want you to know that there's a place for the rough side. And in order to get up this mountaintop to see the glimpse of glory, they first had to climb. I suspect it took them the better part of a day, maybe a day and a half, to get up that mountainside. Now, those of us who went to the Holy Land, unfortunately, there was a glory cloud that had descended, and there was a lot of fog up there that day, and we didn't get to see. But I did go some 10 years ago to the Holy Land, and oh, the vision from the mountaintop, church. It's like being up in an airplane, and you look out, and you see the whole Jezreel Valley laid out, beautiful green valley, and crops of every kind, and what a vision from the mountaintop. But first, to get there, you got to climb. So notice again, the place of this glory is on the mountaintop. It's on the mountaintop. And the Lord summons us to the mountaintops of life. And I can also say that as I've come through periods of struggle, that they brought me to mountaintops and I saw new glimpses of glory. Now I want you to notice that once they're up on this mountain, there's not just a place, but there's a prescription. The Lord brings them up this mountaintop for a reason. You see, brothers and sisters, there are difficult days ahead for them. When Jesus comes down this mountain, he's going to Jerusalem. And he's going to have to go up another hillside called Golgotha. As soon as they come down this mountain, they're on their way to Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to suffer and die. Someone say, Lord, have mercy. And he wants to prepare Peter, James, and John for this difficult days ahead. And so he wakes them up. You notice they were asleep, and the Lord wakes them up and said, take a look at this glory. Take a look at who I really am. Look at where I'm headed. The text says here in the gospel that Moses and Elijah were coming, and they were speaking to him about all that was about to take place in Jerusalem. All that he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, in terms of his divinity, did not need encouragement, but in terms of his humanity, he needed a couple of prayer partners, Moses and Elijah, to hold him up and to say, remember, Jesus, it's more than worth it. You got some difficult days ahead, Jesus, but Jesus, remember what you're about to accomplish. You're going to defeat the devil at his own game. You're going to destroy death by dying. And you're going to cast death off like a garment, and you're going to reopen the kingdom of heaven for all who believe. Jesus, don't forget. And so Jesus is first of all encouraged on this mountaintop. And then secondly, Jesus wakes up Peter, James, and John. And he says, take a good look. Take a good look at this glory. And don't forget this glory. Do not forget the glory that you're witnessing here. And so it is. Peter says, hey, it's good to be up here. And the text says he didn't really know what he was saying. But nevertheless, it is good. Now, brothers and sisters, here's the prescription. We've all got the rough sides of the mountains in our life, but we've all got some of those mountaintops experiences too. Amen, church? Anyone just had times in your life that were just good? Experiences where you really savored life and you really experienced peace and serenity and blessing and glory, and you were, everything was going well. Church, hang on to those moments. When you're in those moments, savor them and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, it's so easy for us to be negative in life. But the Lord says, look, I want you to know something. I'm giving you these moments of glory, little glimpses of glory, and I don't want you to forget the glory that's waiting for you in heaven. So savor these moments, because there are difficult days ahead. All of us. I'm not going to make you any promises. I'm not going to say, hey, everything's going to be smooth sailing all the way. All of us have an appointment with death. And there's other things, little mini deaths that come up, goodbyes and losses. But church, I hope you've been to the mountaintop. And I hope you let the Lord give you a vision. A vision of what life can be on the other side. And the more you look into God's glory, the more you glimpse his glory, the more you see, just say, Lord, it's good to be here. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me to this moment. Thank you, Lord, for a glimpse of glory. Now, ideally, that should happen each Sunday in church. Part of what we're here to do is to go up to heaven and to glimpse glory. Church, we're supposed to be gathered in with all the saints. Look at this church. It's designed to remind you of heaven. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. See, we're with the angels and the saints right now. A throne-like altar where the Lamb of God is here. And we're singing those songs they sing in heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord. We're singing, oh, praise and honor to you, worship and glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. Church, we're in heaven. There's a little line that I'm going to say when I'm at the altar in just a few moments, and I'll say, the Lord be with you, and you'll say, also with you, and then I'll say, lift up your hearts. But church, it doesn't really say that in the Latin text. The Latin text says, sursum corda. It means hearts aloft. In other words, our hearts are now cast up into heaven, and we're with all the angels, and we're with all the saints, and we're singing with them the great hymn of heaven. Holy, holy, holy is God. Oh, church, glimpse some glory now. And rejoice and sing the holy, holy, and just say, Lord, it is good to be here. This is the mountaintop. We're in heaven. And that's why the choir's got to be well rehearsed and the preacher better be on his game. I don't want anyone to walk in here and think they walked into a funeral. I want them to know that Jesus is risen and that we're on the mountaintop. We're with the Lord. And God's been good to us to give us a mountaintop experience, a glimpse of glory. These old churches, when they were built, were sometimes the most beautiful things people ever saw in their whole week. They lived in drab, dreary homes, and difficult things were in their life, and people had long work schedules, but just to come and walk into heaven for just a few minutes and glimpse some glory. Now there's lots of other entertainment that keeps people preoccupied. But as it is, when these old church models were built on the model of heaven, high ceilings and beautiful artwork to remind you and me that we're in heaven. So make sure you get to the mountaintop every Sunday and glimpse some glory. And then finally, I want you to notice the product of this gospel. The purpose or the product of this gospel, this whole experience of going up on the mountaintop, is to prepare them. The Lord wants them to say, don't you see what heaven is like? Oh, they saw him in all his glory, radiant as the Son of God. They saw him transfigured. And Jesus was reminded by Moses and Elijah, it's worth it. It's worth the cross. It's worth any struggle to get back to this mountain. And Peter, James, and John were told the same thing. It's worth it. There are difficult days ahead, but never forget, it is more than worth it. And so it is. Jesus went down that mountain, and he made it to the cross. And by dying, he destroyed death, and he rose again in glory. What about Peter, James, and John? Well, only one third made it. Peter and James fled. They didn't make it to the foot of the cross. But John made it there. And he was at the foot of the cross. What about you? Will you be John? Will you be Peter and James? When the cross comes into life, I'm out of here. I'm not carrying any cross. It's not worth it. I'm going to run from the cross. I'm going to hide. Brothers and sisters, you heard the second reading where Paul said, I must tell you, and I say it with a sorrow in my heart. Many, as I've told you, even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. But the Lord is asking you and me, are you willing to carry the crosses of life, or will you run from them? Are you willing to carry the cross of self-control, the cross of curbing some of your desires? Are you willing to carry the cross for standing up for what is right, just no matter what the cost? Are you willing to carry that cross? Are you willing? Are you willing to endure the shame that sometimes comes from living a Christian life in a world gone mad? Are you willing to carry the cross of raising your children well, making the sacrifices that are necessary so they can be good and strong? Are you willing, or will you run from the cross? Well, the Lord simply says to us today through Paul, do not be an enemy of the cross of Christ, but as you carry your crosses, just keep remembering the mountaintop. Brothers and sisters, it is worth it. St. Paul says that the sufferings of this world can never even be compared to the glory that waits for those who love and trust God. Are you praying? And most of you know, we've already had a foretaste of this. What are some of the best things in your life? And you know they came at the price of a cross. Whether it's the home you live in that was purchased with years of labor and sacrifice and saving, Whether it's your children who took years to raise and caused you grief and heartache sometimes and joys and wonderful experiences at others. But to be able to look at those children now standing tall and taking their place in the community, it was worth it. Are you willing to carry the cross? Oh, the Lord has a message for us. I want you to come up on the mountain. I want you to glimpse the glory. I want you to keep your eyes on the prize. And I want you to come down this mountain with me and face the difficulties that may be ahead, but never forget the glory that is waiting for you on the other shore. I want to conclude because I chose this title for a reason on this particular day. And that is this. Most of you know that the title Eyes on the Prize, it kind of comes from one of the old civil rights movements, but also it comes from that movie that depicted the whole civil rights movement of the 60s, that PBS series, Eyes on the Prize. The Honorable John Lewis will be with us here today, and he, along with Dr. King and so many others, kept their eyes on the prize. Are you praying, church? Arrested, thrown in jail, beaten, houses bombed, friends killed, some of them themselves killed. But they had been up on the mountaintop. They had gone up on the mountain, and they had had a glimpse of glory. And they looked into the promised land where there was justice, where someone wasn't excluded because of the color of their skin, where signs like whites only no longer existed. Brothers and sisters, they kept their eyes on the prize. Are you glad they kept their eyes on the prize? Church, they had difficult days. But as Dr. Martin Luther King said, he'd been up on the mountaintop. And he's not worried about anything else now because he'd been to the mountain with Jesus. And he'd seen the glory that would come. And the sacrifices were worth it, were more than worth it. I met with our young people in preparation for our talk today when Congressman Lewis will speak of his experiences in the civil rights movement. And I said to them, you know, it's so easy for us to just think, well, I can just go anywhere. I can just walk into any store, just go into any part of town, and we don't even think about it today. Brothers and sisters, that freedom, I told those kids, that freedom came at a high price. A mighty high price. Don't you ever forget that freedom is not free. And so it is that we are able today to enjoy the fact that others kept their eyes on the prize and that others never forgot the glory that would come if they were willing. I said, if they were willing to carry the cross. And so it is for us an important lesson. I want to just conclude with an old song that was not that old, actually. It's a fairly new song, but every now and then it's sung in this church. When I'm down and oh, my soul's weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. O Lord, you raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I'm on your shoulders, Lord. You raise me up to more than I can be. There's a verse that's in that song that's almost never sung, and it's not in the Josh Groban version that's so popular. And it simply goes like this. There is no life, no life without its hunger. Each restless heart beats so imperfectly. But when you come, Lord, I am filled with wonder. Sometimes I think I glimpse eternity. Oh, Lord, you raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I'm strong, Lord, when I'm on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. Church, keep your eyes on the prize. Never forget that whatever sufferings, whatever crosses, whatever trials, the glory that waits on the mountaintop with God forever is more than worth it. Amen.